From deep inside the Death Star, I'm Larry Larson.
And I'm Chad Beater.
And I'm Michael Forey.
Welcome to Defrag Tools. So this is part two with Michael here. Tell us, what are we going to talk about today?
Just more driver verifier stuff.
Excellent. Love the driver verifier.
Some examples, maybe?
Some examples. We'll talk about some of the... We'll actually go back through some of the flags real quick. Some of the questions we get are really deal with what some of these things actually do, right? So I think it's worthwhile maybe to spend a minute or two on each one of these. Talk about the best scenario to use if you're troubleshooting or if you're actually developing a driver, right? And then actually we'll go through real quick just what the command line is. We touched on that last episode, the differences between the two and really how it's a preference thing. But one of the things I had mentioned on that one was like the volatile mode. We can talk about that.
And what is volatile mode for someone who doesn't know?
Well, volatile mode, also known as the no reboot feature on MSDN, is, it's driver verifier without rebooting.
Nice.
Did I kill that? Oh, sorry about that. Better. Okay. So it is driver verifier without rebooting, but it's also not able to do as much in-depth checking as, say, the persistent mode does.
Yeah.
Mostly in relation to drivers that happen to be running already, it can assume that, because a driver was already running, it can assume certain things like, allocations or locks or anything else had been acquired, released, dealt with, already. We can't do the that filter driver I talked about for I/O, for example, which limits some of the checking we can do too. So it still works, it's still pretty effective, but some of the more advanced checks that we do are kind of not found with the volatile mode. So anytime when somebody asks, I always say, if you can do the persistent with the reboot, do it, because it's better.
So this would maybe be good for a production server kind of an environment where you can't really easily reboot without causing downtime.
Right. The big thing, though, with verifier, is always remember that verifier is kind of the bug check first, ask questions later, method of running things. Save for a couple places, and only when you have a debugger attached, we always will just bug check. It's, in that sense, it really is a developer tool, because the goal there is to point you at what problem was seen, not let you deal with problems that might be beyond this. Deal with this one now, and then, once you clear it up, then you get to play again. So, but as a troubleshooting tool, its most use is because of the logging and everything else that we have.
Yeah.
And really, when we get to the problem where there's a point where we're broken, it bug checks.
Right. So. Right. So that's the risk of turning it on a production server. More bug checks.
Yeah. Exactly. You might bug check your server instead of rebooting.
Sooner rather than later.
Exactly.
And do you want to spend a minute on the ways that you can configure verifier?
Yeah, so with Windows 8, there's actually four different ways. I only have two of them here because the other two happen to be within the Windows 8 WDK. Those were new. There's basically when you can create a driver within that WDK using this driver deployment properties. There's a way to set verifier in there, and we also have easily run tests, which is kind of a series, like a form you can fill out, which does it there. But within Windows 8, 7, going on back, Vista, XP, we ship the GUI, which Chad showed a little while back, and then the command line. Like I said, I prefer the command line, A, because you can do volatile if you want to do it, B, because it has the help available. There's no, unfortunately, help available with the verifier manager. But, at the end of the day, especially with the persistent settings, they do the same things. A couple of things that, we can show actually that you can do with both of these is you can see what verifier happens to be doing at the time. Let's try that again. There we go. So you can see the settings it has enabled. On this machine, I don't have any. I'll go ahead and I'll set some. I'll say standard, which is the standard flags, and then a driver, and then, if I want to do many drivers, I just do a space separated list, and then actually if I do query settings, it'll show the settings that I have enabled for that.
Now, it told you have to reboot to for this to take effect. That's because you didn't specify volatile? Is that
correct? So if I go back and let's say if I reset, so slash reset clears everything, and just to show the settings once again back here, if I do volatile, and I can specify flags if I want to, hex, or actually the base 10 numeric works here as well. So I think 17 should enable hex flag 11. And then this one, you actually have to do add driver and then foo.sys. And you can see it shows the change settings. Special pool and IO verification are now enabled from now on. So it recognizes 17 without the hex number. And driver foo.sys will now be enabled. So here, I'll actually, instead of showing query settings, I'll show query. Query is what you use to show actually what's been caught. Query actually reads the values that we have in memory. Query settings reads the values we have in our registry, right? So here you can see level 11, this is a hex number, which refers to these two flags, and foo.sys, which hasn't loaded or unloaded on the system because I don't have a foo.sys, but it's a handy tool to find out exactly what happens to be going on with Verifier if you're running it. So
awesome.
You can do the same thing. I'll show it real quick. In the GUI, display existing settings. That reads the registry. So since I'm running in volatile mode, there's nothing here. We don't actually write anything to registry in volatile mode. We just simply update those memory objects we have that track all of our settings. And display information about currently verified drivers. This is the equivalent of slash query. You can see the two things that I have enabled, which is special pool and IO verification, and the driver that I was attempting to look at, foo.sys. So.
And is there a way to do this other one, the slash query through the GUI, or is that a command line only?
No, that's what that that thing just was.
Oh, that was
this here. So
I was.
That's the equivalent of slash query.
And the other one is query settings.
Yeah, that one's the equivalent of query settings. This is the equivalent of slash reset. Yes.
Right.
So it'll say no settings were changed because I didn't actually have any persistent settings set. So one of the other things, and one of the other questions we get a lot are, what do the standard flags do? And honestly, we could spend a half hour on each one of these. I don't think we will. But at the moment, anyway. But one of the ones that we get a ton of questions about, and I touched on a little bit, is the deadlock detection. I think there's a common misnomer that it'll find actual deadlocks. What it actually does is it finds possible deadlocks, right? And going back to our bug check first, ask questions later style of doing things, effectively what this means is, we talked about the whole spin lock object with the last one, where you're grabbing this spin lock so that you're limiting the things that the kernel can do at that time. If you grab two spin locks, A and B, in one thread, one function, whatever, later on you grab BA, Verifier will look at that and go, that's a possible deadlock, and bug check the machine for you and say, you should consider switching the order of either one of these.
Right.
So.
Getting into the CS 101 there, how to avoid deadlocks.
So deadlock detection is a good one to enable if you're seeing hangs, for example, right? Hangs typically are those deadlocks, right? So what you may be able to find is you'll get lucky enough to catch the possible deadlock scenario before the actual deadlock occurs. Even if it's enabled and the deadlock has actually occurred, if you're able to break in with the debugger, some of the information that it would have, and unfortunately, I don't have a dump that has it, but you'd be able to type bang deadlock. It would show you locks that are, in use, and then provide you more information, including the threads that acquired, most recently required, or most recently released it, or even the where it was initialized. So all handy information for debugging that kind of stuff.
And deadlocks in kernel mode drivers tend to be pretty bad because that's kind of the thing where you see your entire system hang.
Exactly, yeah. Everything gets hung. And like I said, I gave the caveat of if you can get in with the debugger. because if you happen to deadlock at, you know, a high Urkel, right, which above 2, which is, you know, what we talked about where spin locks go, mm-hmm. the whole thing is kind of tied together. So when you break in with the debugger, you're doing so at a certain Urkel where you can kind of get a hold of the processor. If you happen to deadlock in a really high Urkel, you may not be able to get in. So it's...
Those are the nasty ones. My system's hung so bad that the debugger can't even break in if I attach one.
Exactly. And you may not be able to do the control scroll lock thing you talked about, that, you know, even because at that point you're relying on the keyboard being able to interrupt everything. And if that can't do it, then, you know, again, you're stuck. So...
Well, we talked about NMI switches, so on some servers they have those, and those can often break in when, say, a keyboard couldn't.
But, those run at a little
higher Urkel.
If you're running that, NMI is what you want. So, we can go back to these. Special pool checking, you actually talked about that a while back, what that does, you know, how we kind of pad memory to make sure that no one's overwritten a buffer, or if you set a switch underwritten a buffer using the GFlags, global flag setting.
That's one of the debugger tools, allows you to set those GFlags.
Yeah.
It comes with the debugger.
Force Urkel checking actually is kind of similar to what this does. This is really an extension of this, but Urkel checking, you know, certain API or DDI have to be meet certain expectations. If you don't, you fall into that. Pool tracking, that's what falls into this, the tracking of allocations and freeze that driver verifier does. IO verification, this is just, you know, effectively, this one's the traffic cop, really. You know, when you're sending information through an ERP or you're sending IO, it's making sure that you are treating it the way you're supposed to. You're not trying to release it or free anything that you shouldn't be.
That's kind of a big one, because really the purpose of a device driver is generally I/O.
Exactly. Right? So. Yeah. Exactly. So, and that's the one where we add that filter driver to do the additional checks, which is so this one, you know, works better with the persistent mode. DMA verification, direct memory access things. You have certain devices that have direct memory access, as the name implies. We are able to catch some of the calls that are made back and forth there. We make sure that you're, again, not misbehaving. Security checks, same deal. You're not, you know, certain things that can be exposed that, you know, are security holes, that kind of thing, making sure that those aren't open. Miscellaneous checks, miscellaneous things fall under miscellaneous checks, and the DDI compliance checking. So, in general, for troubleshooting, standard is the best one to do. It's kind of why we grouped it all underneath there. If you're finding that you're really getting killed by a performance hit when enabling standard, disable deadlock detection first, because it's the heaviest of all these. And with the additional flags, I may have mentioned earlier, these are really more geared towards the developer. Not typically useful in the troubleshooting situation. Maybe power framework delay fuzzing is, if you're seeing the 9Fs, the hangs on shutdown, that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's power driver power state failures.
Yeah. These two here, which were also new to Windows 8, talk about the memory descriptor list, right? So chunks of memory that move along with the I/O.
Those tend to be used in DMA, from what I recall.
Yep, yeah. they get used in kind of like filter or storage, a little bit of networking maybe. But basically, it's two different levels. For stack, stack refers to the whole stack of drivers, or, you know, the stack. Basically, when the driver sends off the I/O, it checks it there, but it doesn't check it anywhere else until it gets back. Checking it for driver means it'll check it at each level. In our filter driver, so that we use. Let's go back to this. ERP logging is a more advanced form of the what we keep in memory. Force pending I/O requests is we're going to force your driver to say this is this particular I/O request is now pending, waiting for work to be done, and it returns that status to whoever called it, and you know, you're attempting to make sure that your caller behaves in that situation. And then the low resources simulation, which is can be configured by this here and as well in the GUI. I'll skip it. But yeah, it defaults to 6% of the time. Anytime you make a memory request, allocate memory, it'll fail you just on purpose. Just nope, I got nothing. So, and you can adjust that anywhere between, you know, 6 and 100 if you really don't want your driver to work. So
as a driver developer, those are kind of designed for that, so that you can test your driver against a situation where you might run out of memory or something like that. Make sure that your driver behaves correctly.
Exactly. Yeah. So the log switch, since it happens to be there in front of us, all that actually does is print out the slash query value like once every 30 seconds, and it just keeps it to a file. So it's useful if you're into looking at a whole lot of print screens effectively. So, but besides that, yeah, I mean, from a very high level, that pretty much covers everything that we do. Standard, like I said, enables the standard flags. All is the shortcut for enabling all drivers. And then if you want to specify a single driver, you do that, name, and then it's just a space-separated list until however many you can fit on a line. So, but I think for what we have available to us, that's everything we can show.
Great.
Excellent. Well, that's the show for this week. If you want to email us, you can email us at defragtools@microsoft.com, or you can leave a comment in the show notes, and we'll get back to you there. Thanks for watching.